Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. This week, Pastor Jordan brings us a sermon titled, How to Be a Neighbor, based off of the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, good morning, and today we're going to talk about the Good Samaritan story, which I think a lot of us have an idea about. We've heard it so many times, and it's like, how could Jordan even possibly have anything more to say about the Good Samaritan? I agree. That's what I felt when I saw this. I'm like, well, this is going to be easy, but then reminded myself that the Bible is a living word. It brings new wisdom to us each and every time we read it. And I think one of the things that sets this story apart is that there's so many layers to it and so many nuances that we could pull different things from it every time we read it. So I want to look at the Good Samaritan story with new eyes today together. And one of the ways I want to do that is because we usually look at it as like, this is how we know who our neighbor is. We think of the person who got robbed and beat up, that is our neighbor, and we need to take care of our neighbors who are in need, which is true. But I kind of want to take a different approach to this in the fact that this story isn't so much about who is our neighbor, but it's more about how to be a neighbor. And so we're going to explore that together, and I think let's try and put ourselves in the story for a second and kind of all the nuances that are going on. But we got to go somewhere else to figure out and get into the story. So follow me. So as I said, the lawyer is asking Jesus questions, and he answers it correctly, that the summary of the law is to love God and love your neighbor. But he tries to justify himself. He tries to justify himself because for him, love God and love your neighbor seems too simplistic, too nonspecific, that there has to be some boundaries, there has to be some exceptions, that there are certain people that we don't have to love or we don't have to encounter and be neighbors to. And so then Jesus tells us this story in response about the Good Samaritan. And so to put ourselves in place, what you're seeing right now is the road to Jericho, and this is the place and the setting that more than likely Jesus was using to tell the story, because this Jesus used real places that people would understand in that context and time and what that was. And so the place actually is a character that helps us understand the setting and the purpose and the point of the story. And so it's steep, as you can see. It's steep, there's blind spots. This is a perfect place to get robbed and leave somebody for dead because you may not see them. And so then what happened was, you know, the person got robbed, they're laying there, left for dead, and a priest comes by. So then a Levite comes by, he sees the body, and all he does then is just simply step over it. And then a priest comes by, and a priest simply steps over the body. And this may be that because for them, in their religious context, that maybe it's not proper to touch a dead body. Maybe it's not proper, it's unclean to deal with a dead body, and so they don't even consider looking to see if the person's dead or not. That their system of belief has told them, don't even bother, and they walk on. And then finally, the Samaritan shows up, and the Samaritan stops, and the Samaritan helps the person and bandages them up. So in this context then, what Jesus is saying to a primarily Jewish audience is that the Samaritan fulfilled the law of God. And it wasn't the Jewish people, the priests or Levite, that went past, but it was the Samaritan, the mortal enemy of Jews, the enemy that they wished ill upon. And Jesus is making a specific point here that the kingdom of God, the law of God, is not contained just to people of God, but it is inherent in people, even people that may not be a part of our religious circles, that maybe the Spirit of God is in people that are outside of our own tribes and groups. But we like to find excuses. So the excuses that come up with the lawyer that's talking to Jesus is, he's saying, he's asking and justifying that to love God and love neighbor is just too simplistic. So who do we love? Who is our neighbor? And in this story, Jesus is directly telling them that the person who showed mercy was the neighbor, that they acted as a neighbor to the person who was robbed. Now, when Jesus asks at the end of the story, who was the neighbor, the lawyer said, the one who showed mercy to the person who was robbed. And he didn't say Samaritan. So that shows just how deep that anger, hatred, distrust for Samaritans were, that they didn't even want to say the name. We all want to find excuses. We all want to reasons to give ourselves that prevent us from doing stuff. That's kind of our default. We'll sit there and we'll say, well, I can't do that. I don't have the right gifts. I can't help that person. I'm running low on money right now. I can't help that person because they've burned enough bridges. Or that person who's homeless, it's their own fault. They should get a job and get back up on their feet. Or people just need to work harder if they have debt, or they need to get 4 jobs to pay it off. Things like that. We always find reasons to keep from being the neighbor. That we don't want to face the fact that maybe some people are in a place not by their own doing. We should know that because we've all been in places where the events that have happened were out of our control. That it put us into a place where we didn't want to be here, but things seem to happen and now we are. And maybe that's the way for a lot of other people. Certainly the person in this story who got robbed and was beaten. So then we are people that think that people need to earn love, that they need to earn it. And I don't think that's true. I think people need to earn trust, certainly, because some people have broken trust and that needs to be earned. You can't just trust everybody. But you can love everybody. Love doesn't always mean to trust somebody fully. Love is to show somebody they are seen and heard for who they are and where they are at. To show grace and compassion no matter what they have done. That is true love because that is what Christ and God have done for us. And so only if we could do that for others, just as the Samaritan did for the man who is robbed in this parable. So this story shows us that our basic humanity, our brotherhood, sisterhood that is connected through God, our Creator, is the thing that should connect us and should be enough for love. So because we're trying to figure out who's in and who's out, we're trying to make excuses. We are the lawyer saying, well, who is our neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Because that law is too simplistic. Even in Christianity today, I think a lot of people, a lot of churches do believe that to love God and love your neighbor is too simplistic. So we try to come up with all these different specific ways of who is in and who is out. Well, you can't really love them or help your neighbor if they're sinning. You should show them that they're sinning. It gets convoluted and it gets complicated. So then that freezes us. But this story and the summary of the law is simplistic enough that Jesus is saying, here is the bare minimum. Here is the point of the kingdom of God. Go and do likewise. But we have so many prejudices in our own lives of the people we want to help, the people we want to interact with. Maybe it's somebody that has a different political bent than you. Maybe it's people who are poorer than you, you feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's even somebody that's a different race or ethnicity. We all have our own prejudices, and that shows up too in our systems. Our larger systematic problems that we have can come from our prejudices. Our systems are not immune to it because our systems are built by us. So in the story, the Levite and the priest who left the person on the road, that was because of their systematic beliefs, their religious beliefs that kept them from helping somebody. So our systems have prejudice in them too. So right now I want you to think as we take a little break, a time of reflection, where are there prejudices in your own heart, in our own systems that you're a part of? Where are those prejudices at and how can you learn to be a better neighbor within those. So as we've pondered upon our own prejudices and the systems that we're a part of that has prejudice, that is the first place to start, because the only time you can fix a problem or you can adjust your heart or transform your heart is you first need to understand what the problem is, that you need to recognize it. And we all have prejudices. The story of the Good Samaritan is the thing that shows us we are not alone. People throughout history have had prejudices, that Jesus is being intentional with using the Samaritan as the person who's living into the kingdom of God when he's telling a whole crowd that is Jewish. That's intentional. It's showing that no one is beyond the kingdom of God, that even people that aren't religious or go to church could embody the character of Christ, that the Spirit of God can be in them also. And so the other test of this, the lawyer asks, how can I obtain eternal life? And Jesus uses this story in response to that also. And Jesus says at the end of it, do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. What is the way of life that leads to eternal life? In response to that question, the message of the Good Samaritan, the message of the Good Samaritan leads readers to the conclusion that one must help, because helping is the way of life. That not only for the people who need help, but for the person that is helping. That this story of the Good Samaritan, how to be a neighbor and who is my neighbor, isn't just transformative for one party, but it is for both. The more you help, the more you give of yourself, that you offer love to others, the world becomes better. It becomes the kingdom of God, becomes the reign of God, the reality of God. And we don't do it very often. We get so stuck on the question of who is my neighbor, that we forget about how to be the neighbor, that we want to know who are the people we need to love. We try to create it into this who's in and who's out thing. Republicans, Democrats, we don't want them to be our neighbors. We want the people we think who think like me politically. We want our neighbors to be people who look like me. So then race and ethnicity come into the question. And then we also want we want people around us who have the same values. We want people who have the same religion. And so we start to create these little tribes and places that we know that we are right and the others are wrong. But to truly live into eternal life, Jesus is telling us, no, that is not the way. The question you need to ask yourself is, how can you be a neighbor? And it doesn't matter who your neighbor is. It doesn't matter who your neighbor is. There is no if, ands, and or buts. This is the question: how can I be a neighbor to those around me, to those in my community, to those in my neighborhood, to my friends, my family? And to be a neighbor is to offer love freely. There's a story I heard this week that kind of embodies this a little bit, that gives a little bit of illustration of what it looks like. There's a restaurant in town that delivers, and there's an elderly woman that has ordered from them very often this year. And one of the unspoken rules now is that when the delivery person brings this lady her food, there is a trash bag at the door, and the delivery person picks the trash bag up and puts it in the bin on the curb. So there is this unspoken offering of love and support and helping, even in a job that doesn't require it. Your job is just to deliver food, but now they have transformed and trained and changed their hearts to also do this for this woman. That's what we need to do. And all week you've been hearing stories from Texas also of neighbors stepping up and helping other neighbors when they no longer have power. It's freezing outside. Pipes are bursting. The horrific scenes of people dying from exposure. But yet there is light because neighbors are looking out for neighbors. That it's offering your resources, your food, anything. When we start to hoard it, that's when it becomes a problem. But you're offering it freely because Christ reminds us that there is more than enough. There's more than enough in the kingdom of God. And so that's how to truly be a neighbor, to not be tied to your things, not to hold on to things so much, that you are able to offer it to those who are in need, and to those that maybe don't even deserve it. That is the biggest test of letting go. And so this story, I pray to you that this story, this one that we know so well, that even as we keep hearing it time and time again, when we hear a story enough, it actually tends to change our hearts. It changes our perspective. You gain something new from it every time, and you start to embody it. So my prayer for you is that you embody the Good Samaritan, you embody the story. Now, at New Hope, we want to try and challenge people to connect, serve, pray, and learn. And we want to challenge you to be able to do that with this story of the Good Samaritan, that you may continue to learn and live out how to be a neighbor. 2020 and 2021 have been hard so far, because it's hard to be a neighbor when you have to social distance, when we all have different ideas and comfortability of how to live within this pandemic. But may you find the small ways, like the delivery people to the woman and dropping off their trash, the small ways to enact neighbor love to others, because those small things build up to big things, and it changes people's hearts and attitudes and habits. So may you find this week one thing that you can do. We're so focused on what we can't do. Find something you can do to show that you are a neighbor to someone else. Amen. Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.